I would like to call the Library Joint Powers Authority Board of Monday, December 5th, 2011, to order. We had a closed session prior to the public meeting where we discussed labor negotiations. And we received information from our library director and gave her some direction. And there's no other reportable actions. So moving on, Sheila, can you call the roll?
Sure. Supervisor Perry?
Here.
Citizen Gert?
Here.
Citizen Gorson?
Here.
Councilmember Beers?
Here.
Citizen Poitinger?
Here.
Councilmember Reed? Councilmember Terraris? Supervisor Stone?
Here.
Councilmember Story?
Here.
Thank you. We have our agenda for this evening in front of us. And if there are no questions or issues, we have a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve.
So Sheila Sam moved to approve and Lee seconded.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. And we have minutes from our prior meeting of November 7th.
Second.
That's Catherine was moved and Helen second.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
I'll abstain.
The motion passes and Sam Story abstained.
I'm sorry, Sam abstained. We're here for this.
Oral communications is next, and that's time for any member of the public to speak for a short period of time, under 3 minutes, on any library topic that is not on the agenda. So do we have anyone who wants to speak? No? Okay. Moving on, we have 3 items on our consent agenda. Do we have a motion?
I'll move approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
Ellen moved approval and Sam seconded.
Got it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Good to go.
I'm getting good in the second.
Trying to beat last one.
See if we can finish by second.
I finally figured it out. Just talk fast.
Let's break our record.
Only took 8 years.
I had to take lessons from Michael Turman. He was so good at whipping through. Oh, he really was good. Written communications is next. Any questions? Or I have a question.
Okay.
We'll probably hear about this next month, but I'm curious. And there was something in there about the TEDx streaming live at Scotts Valley last week.
Mm-hmm.
How did that go?
Well, not very live since there was no power.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was in the paper, no power.
Oh.
So it's been postponed.
Yeah,
I don't know if
like
you can postpone a live event, but anyway, yeah, it was Scotts Valley had no power all day.
That's like in Scotts Valley. And I did just want to make another comment on there was a very good report on the Big Read. We did talk about that in our last board meeting as well, but just was a thorough report, and it's just such a great event, and so I really hope the library continues to do that every year. Seemed like it was so well attended.
Yeah. The plan is the Friends are going to write another grant. The grant will not be for October. It'll be we didn't hear until July that we got it. We applied in February, didn't hear until July, and then had to implement for October. So if we do it again, if we get it again, it'll be for spring of 13, so next fiscal year. But and if we don't get the grant, then it's a matter of coming up with some funding.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's the will to do it. I'm looking at Friends and Janice, but if we don't get the grant, we'll find some other way to do that.
Yeah, and it was a great collaboration, I think, between community, Friends, staff, and patrons. All right, moving on to reports of advisory bodies. Friends?
Yes, I'm Pete Cullen, and I'm going to be taking over for Sherry Scold as president of the Friends starting in January, so some of you know me, some of you don't. Just wanted to introduce myself to all of you that don't, and just let you know that I've got some big plans for our organization, and I'm looking forward to working closely with Teresa, and also reaching out to the branches and we're looking forward to a great year or so. If any of you have suggestions how we can make the Friends better as an organization and help the library, we're wide open to your input. So thank you.
Welcome. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Finance Committee report. The Finance Committee met a week ago, Monday, and we reviewed the financials, which are in our package later, so I won't talk about that. We reviewed the mid-year budget update, which is also in our package, but we did agree that we agreed with the director's recommendation on that, and we'll discuss that later. We reviewed the audit, which is also on our agenda. Other than that, there's no meeting in December, so the next finance subcommittee meeting will be at the end of January. Member reports. Sam, anything to talk about Capitola?
Nothing new. I read in the minutes that it had been reported out that with progress on developing the new Capitol Library is kind of hung up in an RDA lawsuit, which is, as I understand, it's going to the Supreme Court early next year, and so hopefully we'll have a resolution at that time, and that it will be a positive one, that would at least verify the contracts that we've entered into with the architects to design the library. We're continuing to put aside, the required funding for the library, but all the other activity is on hold pending the Supreme Court.
Thank you. Moving on to staff reports.
Narrative report. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. I did find that staff's been so busy trying to get ready for the new service model that they I didn't get a lot from from staff this month, so I filled in where I could. But statistics-wise, I suppose the most significant thing is Scotts Valley is showing major increases, which isn't surprising. I have been concerned about, in general, the dropping of the numbers, but staff pointed out to me, and it was a good point, that these stats are not capturing electronic usage, and it does capture self-check, but we think that there's people sometimes that are using self-check that think they've checked out and they haven't, because the beep is the same. Mm-hmm. So we're exploring that. We try to get a different sounding beep. So people are bringing things back. We don't have that problem. We don't have a loss problem, but. We just don't know how significant it is. It could be enough to be affecting statistics because
I know a couple people who sort of were looking on the website trying to figure out why the book they had checked out wasn't showing up.
Yeah.
So
they're not watching the screen. They're listening for the beep, and they're not watching. And it'll hang up, say on the first book, and then they'll continue to check out like five books later. So none of them got checked out, even though they thought they did, and they might even get a receipt. They may just look at the date and not look at the receipt. Maybe the fifth book is the one that doesn't go. So the first four checked out, fifth one isn't, and everything afterwards they don't. So once we get other things settled after the new computer system, we'll take a closer look at that and see if there's a way to change the sounds that get heard so there's a different kind of alert for a successful checkout and an unsuccessful checkout.
That's a good idea.
So not sure if that's what's, that's contributing it to some. We're also not capturing electronic checkouts. I mean, we're all sitting here talking about ebooks and OverDrive, and we do capture those stats, but not reflected in this report. So that's another thing we know we need to get a better way of reporting on. And we're Barbara Snyder and I are working on we did subscribe to a service for helping us with our statistics gathering, and it's very complicated to get going. And Kira was supposed to do it. So Barbara and I are working on trying to gather that together. So we're trying to get a better handle on statistics and reporting and prepare for the performance indicators you wanted. So we'll be looking at all of that in the next few months.
I have a question, which is, when we when we cut our hours a few years ago significantly, we really obviously saw an impact in these statistics. And it does seem to me that year over year, even though we have not changed, we haven't changed our hours.
Went up a year ago.
That these stats have continued to drop. And certainly one of the reasons could be what you've just been talking about. But the visitors, that wouldn't necessarily be the case with. And I think those have not 100%, but seem to have continued to decrease in some of the branches. And so my question really is, just given your experience, what are your expectations on how quickly we might see this turnaround once the hours are increased in January and then hopefully in June again? Do you have any idea?
No, I've never been through this kind of cut in restoration. I think the electronic is definitely affecting the visitors. More people are doing more from home, and we've got to find a way to track that better. It's hard. The data's not easy to come by. So, that's a big area. I'm probably going to take us, in January, people aren't going to know. We're going to start publicity, and they're going to know. But it's probably, I think we have to give it a full year before we really know. It's been a year now since we increased, October 16th, a year ago, was when we increased hours a little bit last year. And you're right, we didn't see a huge increase. So I don't know. It's something to definitely look at.
Yeah. And I know these stats are in the performance indicators, so that the board will be going over that routinely.
So any questions on either of those? Okay, mid-year budget adjustment review. We did go over this with the Finance Committee last week, and I know we're kind of halfway through the year since it's December, but the reports we have are really only a third of the way through the year, so it still lags. Basically, we're at an appropriate level for expenditures and revenues, and I'm really not recommending any changes at this time. We still have a lot of unknowns ahead of us with implementing the new service model. If by March things are looking really, really good, we're going to end with a really positive fund balance again, I may come back and ask maybe for some money for the materials budget to boost it some, but other than that, I think we just need to be prepared to cover some unknown expenses. We've already had some pretty significant building expenses this year. We're really lucky that the windstorm didn't hurt any of our facilities. We're still having boiler problems here. And David had asked at the finance point, because that's where we're supposed to be, at the Finance Committee for a list of the capital assets that the library has. Oh, you were there, Sam. Thanks, Barbara. Did you get Jack sent a copy. To me, and I assumed he sent it to
you. I didn't see anything.
I wonder if he sent it to David and not. I can send it to everyone. I got it today. And what's interesting on it, when did we get a boiler for this library? And I think it was 98, and it's got a life of 13 years. Do the math. 2011. And yeah, we've been having boiler problems. So let me make myself a note to send the capital assets.
So is the boiler listed as one of our capital assets, even though it's installed in the City of Santa Cruz building?
Yes. Oh, the list is fascinating, actually.
So it's a pretty finite level of assets.
So I think I bet it's going to be down to if the JPA paid for it, then it's on our.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what it is.
Assets, so we must pay for it.
I have my new system.
So if we ever move out, we can take the boiler with us.
I didn't hear that, Ellen. Just look at me, I didn't hear it.
We can keep it as a souvenir.
It probably is worth it.
Oh, debt and assets. Talk about small print. I got it. It's a bigger print, but I wanted it on two pages. Some of it is the major work, the headquarters remodel, and but boiler replacement, central branch, 1998, expected useful life 13 years. The parking lot, but it gets into all the vehicles we have are all listed here. Shelving is considered a capital asset. So shelving for various branches is down here. Voicemail system equipment, PBX cards are all considered capital assets. So it's kind of an interesting list. But there are some things that are, because we've been trying to get this information, and I found just, you know, when are some things due to run out? And this gives us some of those dates to kind of work with. But the boiler was
going to... the parking, like the Aptos parking lot?
Is an asset, yeah. We give the building back to the county, I guess we take the parking
lot. We
turn
it into a parking lot for fees.
So when I was on the board when we did that parking lot, but did the JPA buy that lot, buy the vacant lot? You weren't here either, were you?
No.
We paid for the improvements.
We paid for the improvements. We did not buy the land.
Who bought the land?
Was it bought from the county buy it?
Yeah.
I don't know who owns the land.
Okay. Well, that just seems odd to list that as a capital asset when it's on somebody else's land or installed in somebody else's building. I mean, you can't take it with you, obviously.
Well, it's just for depreciation.
It must be
it's depreciation.
It
depreciates. Yeah. It is because it's got the depreciation.
Yeah.
It's got the acquisitions date, accumulated depreciation, current year depreciation basis amount, useful life. But the useful life, I think, useful life and the date acquired are the interesting on some of these, you know. So the amphitheater, Boulder Creek Library, is 2002, useful life of 20 years. The original parking lot in the Aptos branch was 1998, and the expansion was in 2009. Anyway, I'll send you this list, but anyway, so we have some significant expenses. Live Oak, I never did hear the resolution of it, but Friday was a crazy day here. Some of our power was on, some of it was off in the very same building. But I got word that Live Oak's boiler was out, and someone was going to go sit there and wait for George Wilson to come so that we could try to get it fixed before Sunday. So, and I haven't heard I didn't hear today what the result was. So we seem to be having a lot of building issues. So the winter hasn't even started yet.
Well, and that building is pretty new.
Yeah, it is.
And I wonder when the statute of limitations ran out for the RDA on fixing things on that building. Was that ever determined? Because they're supposed to have a certain number of years that...
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
I mean, that went up in 6 years.
Yeah.
It has?
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I would have sworn
it. I know we did go back and talk to the county and the RDA about all the problems we're having. They were going to do an assessment, but they never did, and now RDA is they can't.
Yeah, but it's owned by the county because when the RDA built it, they transferred to the county.
Right.
So that's not a problem. We'll fix it.
We've.
That's
not true. Yeah. So anyway, the thing is, we seem to be facing a lot of issues this year. Big capital maintenance issues that we, or not maintenance even, just repair.
Well, I had questions around those, but when we get to the
facilities
management thing,
So anyway, the fund balance is healthy at this point. Revenues, sales tax revenues are coming in a little bit high. Property taxes is a little bit low. I think the net is predicted to be about $12,000 to the good, not something worth spending. Mm-hmm. And charges for services are high, but fines and lost item revenues are low, and those are going to be even lower because we're basically still forgiving fines after coming over on the new computer system. We're still working out those issues. And expenditures, there's nothing unusual. I mean, there are computer-related expenditures that are high because we did go to the new computer system. E-rate, I think we just gave them the last piece of information that they need to give us our money for this year, so hopefully that money will start coming in. personnel is right on target. That's going to obviously be the one to watch as we go into the new year. We did have large expenses. Now, I did just hear that the emission control modifications to the bookmobile were only $14,000, not $22,000. So we saved $8,000. And that's basically, we're just coming along. Things seem to be okay. So I'm not recommending any changes at this point. And the October financials kind of form the basis for the mid-year report. So unless there's specific questions, I'm not going to go over those in detail. So are there any questions on the mid-year budget or?
Nancy, I just have one question. This $100,000 that is going to be retained in the operating budget for unforeseen things connected with the move to the new service model, do we have any idea what that might mean or might be?
We may have misestimated. If that's the right word. We may not have estimated correctly the personnel costs. I mean, we took a stab when we established the budget. We were guessing at what where everybody was going to fall out in terms of positions and things like that. So that's probably the biggest place for a fudge factor on it. And then there is the money. There is the cost of the Y rating and
Any
other questions? All right. We'll move on to the audit.
Okay, the Finance Committee got a copy of the audit at the meeting. We all got it at 10 minutes, at 5 o'clock. Jack was here to go through it, and so the Finance Committee did go over it pretty thoroughly. There were some good questions. There was nothing nothing significant. The audit, I realized that, well, you did have it in your packet. The two letters that are in the are stuck in your audit are not, were not in the packet. They sent those over to me today. But they're just pro forma letters saying how they conducted the audit and that there's nothing, they didn't find anything. We encountered no significant difficulties throughout, each paragraph that's bolded, they talk about nothing out of the ordinary. So, I don't know, Sam or Barbara, is there anything that you wanted to make sure the board knew after about the audit?
I think it was a positive report in that the auditors did specifically call out the fact that we had improved our financial situation significantly through various actions. And that was, in their report, in their letter, it was called out in a couple different places in the audit. So, I think that was good because it confirms that, yes, we've done that. But Sam, you can, chime in here. There were no issues identified, and there was nothing in here that we had any issue with or overwhelming question with. So it's
no, that's true. The audit does reflect positive results for the last two fiscal years. A great tribute to you, Teresa. So I think that's reflected in the major discussion we had at the Finance Committee was we had that talk about whether our balance sheet that we see on a monthly basis could match the balance sheet, the format, because it's a little different. We did have a discussion about that. Jack mentioned that it was a little bit complicated to shift it from an ongoing operational presentation to match this year-end presentation. So I kind of dropped that. So if you notice in our balance sheet, we have this item, which is really a negative asset at the bottom, which is meant to offset our long-term payables. And our audit is not presented that. The audit is presented, I thought, much cleaner. So we had, that was that discussion at the Finance Committee, but I think that we were overall satisfied with the audit presentation. I know if you need a motion for us to accept the audit, or?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I didn't note that on the agenda.
Yeah, I don't think.
Well, I think we did last year.
We certainly can.
I think we just accepted it, I think.
Let the minutes reflect that you accepted the audit.
Well, I mean, I'll make that motion.
I'll second it. Sam and Ellen.
All in favor?
Accept the audit.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
I wanted to go back just a quick second to the finance report. I forgot to include the PERS rate comparison that's referred to, and I gave you a copy.
Yes, yeah.
The finance committee had this, and when I rewrote the staff report for the board meeting, I neglected to attach this to the back of it. So it was just something that Jack had, the finance team committee had, finance department had given us about just PERS projections, just to give us an idea of what to expect. And miscellaneous is where all our staff is. Obviously, we're not in fire and police, so.
And I think that now that I'm recalling the conversation, that we noted that while PERS is not showing any huge increase between now and 2015, doesn't seem terribly believable.
It didn't happen this year as we thought it would, and it did, so.
Well, what Jack did mention at the finance committee was the PERS thinking of reducing their projected return on investment from the current 7.25, I believe, to maybe down to 5 and some change. And that would make a significant impact on what our costs would be. So he did say to look out for that in the future.
And just to remind everyone, if you don't know, Jack is retiring at the end of December. His last day of work is December 16th. So.
And has a replacement been hired?
No. There's still, it closes, I think it may close the 16th. So, yeah.
And so when do you think there will be a replacement?
Well, it's still out.
If it closes the 16th.
Like what's for 3 months?
Oh, I'd say, within 2 months. Oh, yeah.
If it closes the 16th, of course, the city's closed down for 2 weeks. Library's not, the city is.
But they've appointed an interim head, so I'm sure we'll get this.
It's probably be Cheryl.
Yeah, it is.
Cheryl Five. So I would say there hopefully would be somebody hired by February or March, but depending where they're coming from, they may not be able to come right away. So yeah, I'm losing everybody. okay, so ILS update. We put a list together of all the known issues. Has it grown from the 18 that was on there? I haven't seen it lately. I didn't look. You don't know? Okay. There are about 18 items on the list, which is actually very short. As I tried to tell staff, the last computer migration I went to, there were several hundred items that needed to be worked on. So 18 is actually pretty small. Some of those are fairly major items, but not all of them are the fault of the computer system. Some of them are based on the fact that we went to new equipment, new servers to manage this, and there's some scripts that need to be rewritten, some other issues that are still being worked out in the changeover. So we've come up with some workarounds for some of the more egregious things that are bothering people, but we're working hard with the vendor and just working through it all. Anybody want to say anything else about it?
Working on it.
We have tried. We did create a web page for the public to go to. I wrote a letter for me saying, trying to explain what was happening. We have an FAQ page. We other information as we know it on the list of issues that we have internally. We condensed it. Not necessarily all of those did not go on the list for the public, because some of them are things that have nothing to do with the public and they're just not going to understand their internal working things. But we put that list out for the public so that they know the things that we've identified and that we're working on. So we're trying to be out in front of it. So.
And there's a way for them to ask questions or add to
They're asking.
Or
yeah. Don't worry, they're asking. it really died down. And we actually have staff answering phones, handling mostly evergreen, having answering computer questions. So people call call in, that's usually what they're asking about. So we have staff dedicated to handling that.
We've also had three of the four training.
Oh, yes, the classes, yes.
And the first one no one came to, and then four and
then
eight or something like that. So,
yeah. So more people are coming. Letting people know that we're offering training in the new catalog and how to use the new system. So.
And they tweet us and make comments on Facebook.
It is a transition, though. I mean, personally, you know, it just takes, it's like, oh, this looks really different, you know, and you have to slow down and think about things again to figure out what you want to do. So, and, you know, it's always irritating when that happens, so.
Yeah. And the new Google Gmail is driving me crazy. Yeah, but, you know, I gotta move on and deal with it. Okay, so the transition. Staff's just doing an incredible job. We've got 7 transition teams in play. They are all working hard. We're dealing with the logistics of this phone has to move to this person's number has to move to this phone, and you don't actually move the phone, you move the numbers. Their profile on this PC has to move to this PC. It's very complicated. Over 50 staff are physically moving and just making sure, you know, I'm taking my chair with me, you know, so the person that shows up at that place, now what are they going to sit on? We got to make sure they've got a chair to sit on. It's that kind of level of detail. There's just people being prepared on January 3rd to be able to open the doors of their branch and turn the computers on and serve the public because, you know, things work differently in different locations. So we've got... I may need help here. We've got a person in charge team, a reference team, programming team, learning systems team, volunteer team.
Information specialists.
Bridge. What? I'm sorry?
Physical spaces.
Physical spaces and
bridge.
Collection management services.
Oh, CMS.
CMS, which is all of acquisitions and technical services, cataloging, all that stuff. So, and particularly if I think for the collection management folks, they're also dealing with the new computer system, the new, you know, the whole way of cataloging and acquisitions is all brand new, and now you've got new people coming in to do it. So staff's just really risen to the occasion, and they're just doing a great job. They've really taken ownership of it. The reference staff and programming staff have worked out who's going to do what age class visits. We've got a bunch of iPads on order to do the remote reference. We're going to start with FaceTime and then eventually go to Skype, but... everybody's really, really pitching in and just really.
We're going to put out the new programming schedule in the middle of December, so people will know it.
Yeah, story times will start January 9th, and
great.
It's happening. We'll start putting out the hours and all of that in another week or so. Okay, so that brings us. Any questions on the transition? Facilities planning. Okay. You asked me to bring this back in December, so I did. And I kind of took a slightly different approach to it. I did a lot of thinking and decided that we needed a lot of information for you all to consider and decide how you want to proceed. So that's what I've tried to do here, is kind of give you a lot of the background on how facilities have been planned for and dealt with in the system in the 15 years that we've been a system. So when the JPA was formed, existing facilities all became part of the Santa Cruz Public Library system, but ownership was retained by the individual jurisdictions. You just mentioned the county owns that building. Mm-hmm. There's been 2 facilities totally built since the district was formed. That was Live Oak, which was built by the county with redevelopment money, and Scotts Valley, which was built by City of Scotts Valley with redevelopment money. We did a major remodel at Garfield Park. That was the district that had money, and I think there was a grant involved in that as well.
I think that was a loan thing, not one of that.
It was part of Measure B.
The library took out like $1 million loan.
Well, we must have repaid it.
No, it was repaid. Oh, okay. It was like taken out in 98 or something.
I don't know, I wasn't here and I haven't seen those records. I've been told us getting a loan is kind of difficult since we don't own anything. The only thing that we have that's our tax receipts is our only thing that we have that's, you know, in essence, an asset. I don't think the Aptos parking lot's going to count as an asset that someone's going to loan to us on. Interesting when it came to property insurance that each jurisdiction or landlord is paying property insurance on their properties, with the exception of downtown, that everybody pays, helps contribute to pay for the property insurance on this facility. I think the thought behind that is the shared, you know, the large resource that it is that the city of Santa Cruz brought into the district. Structural maintenance, I think we've seen that. It's varied by facility. We do pay for ongoing maintenance, such as janitorial minor repairs. Major repairs have been paid for by the district, and I think that's what you kind of see on that capital asset list. I made a list of some of the things I know that have been paid for recently. The JPA paid for most of them. Roof replacement in La Selva Beach, the landlord. It's nice. We actually have a landlord there that, you know, since we're leasing the building, one of the few leases that we have.
But aren't we leasing the other buildings as well? I mean, aren't we in effect leasing the Aptos and La Selva?
La Selva and Felton actually have leases.
Right.
Scotts Valley now has a lease. And Capitola has a lease. Nobody else has leases. Those four.
We have leases at one time?
We had one on Live Oak, but it expired before the new building. But there's
the
not one in effect
on
now.
Nothing on the new building. Nope. We had a lease on the old building.
Yeah.
So but the county didn't own the old building.
I don't know.
No, it was rented.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's nothing
in writing.
That's just incredible.
I know.
There's nothing
I know.
In writing
with the
that
city.
Says what the city's or the county's
no.
obligation is.
Yep. And every time an issue comes up, we sit down and go, okay, will you help us out here? I mean, the city helped out with the trees that just needed to be removed, and we paid for the patio, they paid for the trees and the sidewalk. We had issues.
Do we pay any rent?
No, we don't
pay
rent. Well, we pay a dollar to Scotts Valley.
We don't pay rent.
We pay rent in La Selva Beach and Felton.
Yeah, I think that's
it. And when you say downtown, are you including the administrative building? So we don't have a lease on that building?
I don't know if that's actually a lease. There's an agreement on that building that's like 30 years out in terms of at the end of the 30 years, we can continue. It doesn't become our building, but we don't have to. We don't actually pay rent on the building. We pay for the lease improvements that we make. We do pay rent, but when that runs out in like 30 years, then we don't pay rent anymore.
Then it's $1 a year.
Then we don't pay anything.
But the purpose of a study session then, to bring all this out to the table.
Yeah, just to get it all out there to
resolve it tonight. A study session, right? We can't resolve it because we don't.
So is that a proposal to have a study session?
It's in her thing here.
Because I think that would be useful, although I think it might take more than one meeting. Like you might want to do a couple.
Right.
Couple buildings.
Yeah, it is.
Well, and I guess what I would want is some direction from you is what you want covered in such a session. I mean, I've given you a lot of information here. I gave you a copy of the last facilities master plan that was done. And, you know, we know we've got building needs, some small, some big, but where is the responsibility for all of that and how do we want to approach it? And I'm as baffled as you are.
You know, and I'll just tell you what I was thinking, which is that I really like the idea of a study session. We sort of go through this methodically. And partly, you know, you're new as well as some of the rest of us to kind of really understand this. It seems like for many of our needs, what these facilities need is probably in the brains of the library employee. I mean, a whole bunch of that stuff. People know. You have people who know what the short-term and long-term issues are with different facilities because they've been working in them for a long time. So I thought
that would be, I would find that interesting to see any old leases, that there are sort of a history of how each building was held and who owns it, and some more detail about, just sort of picking the brains of the people that have been working there or working on it to tell us what they know we need. Because I feel like once we get through all that, once we really have a handle on the condition of each building and where the shortcomings are, we'll be in a lot better position than to understand what it is we want from a long-term facilities management.
I think we can go only so far, though. I mean, I appreciate that, and I think you're right. But let's take a building like Brands of 40. It's getting to be an older building. I don't know that, now I might be able to have my maintenance guys come and talk about the systems in there, you know, HVAC or whatever.
I've got to put it in writing.
Well, but that's the kind, I mean, to get to that level, they may or may not have that expertise to be able to tell us that, and certainly staff doesn't know.
But staff knows if all the windows are leaking, and if the heater's working, and that's what I was just talking about. What, I don't know what they do know, but it seems like we ought to find out what they do know already, so that we don't pay somebody a lot of money to go find out stuff that we can find out from our own staff. That's all I'm thinking. It's just trying to get a better basis.
So you're kind of
that's what I'm
asking to do.
I don't know what other people are thinking.
I'm Sam.
Thank you. And what we had a previous plan, and many of the items on there were never realized. And so it seemed like those would carry forward. Or some analysis about, well, 5 years ago we had this need and we didn't fill it, or didn't do it. Assume you still have it. And so those would go on the new facilities plan. So see, from that we would have a general sense of what we would want to do. But even before we get to that, I have a little concern about, we have no possessory interest firmed up or documented on many of these buildings. And so before getting into investing a lot of money in leasehold improvements or defining what that is, I feel like the first stage would be, one, do we want to have a long-term lease on all of these facilities? And if we do, we're developing and negotiating those documents so that whatever investment we ultimately put into it is going to be realized over 15, 20 years. So it seems to me our position is rather precarious in a lot of these facilities. So that's that issue. And then we already had a plan, and we should probably review that, and then we could also get from what the staff know about certain obvious issues. Now there may be some hidden issues that you may need to hire a contractor, an engineer, and come, and maybe that's where the RFPs come into play, if we felt the need for that. But maybe these are all parts of the study session, but that's what seemed to me, those are the order of, and the work, scope of work that we need to get through.
It's Jim Reed, let me take the call.
Okay.
Hi, Jim. Yeah, we are. Can someone go let Jim in? Okay, we'll let Jim
in. Show up late.
Okay,
it was Nancy, then Catherine, then me.
No, I tried.
Oh, I thought you did. So, Catherine.
Well, I had met maybe a week or so when we the facilities master plan. We did the layout, so that we were quite ready for it. But anyway. But we could, then this, she'd already worked on this, which is a great idea, a great document that is the beginning of what I call staff report. But I also thought some of the homework has to be, I don't know who your county person is, but the county owns these buildings, should be part of that study session, as I think our city manager, because we own three of the buildings. I mean, I think we need them at the table, but, hear the issues and try to figure it out and then end up with a written lease. All the boards would have, so anyway, that was just my contribution. Is that study session? And
we probably want the county administrative officer, just because she would have the long-term memory of how that is.
So anyway, it was just that's what study sessions are all about, is just kind of gathering a whole bunch and find out where you're lacking information. And you know, I think when it gets to the fine tuning, what is needed in each building, it will take a specialist to come in, and whatever you call them, facilities, crews or something. But I do like the idea. But I, it will take some preparation for sure to do it, to make a successful study session. And you certainly began here.
Thank you,
Catherine.
I would find a study session very useful, but I have sort of a bigger question about the facilities plan in general, and I'm kind of wondering, because like the stuff that you were talking about, Ellen, kind of to my mind falls more along the lines of like maintenance and, you know, windows and boilers and stuff like that. And to me, it seems like for a facilities plan, we want something sort of bigger to tell us, you know, what kind of spaces in general do we need for the services that we want to deliver and for the population. So I guess I'm kind of wondering where you envision, you know, an RFP and what the final product would, you know, like what level of granularity would you have in a report you envision.
My original concept was more along the lines of, what are the spaces we have? How can we deliver the services that we've described in the new service model best through these facilities? And what is it going to take to make these facilities function and serve the service model? So it was more along the lines of the bigger picture. I think what Ellen's talking about
Like halfway in between.
Is certainly valuable, because we need, the information that, you know, right here we're told that the boiler had 13 years to live and it's, you know, it's got 3 weeks to go. So,
let's
you know,
like make that longer.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely helpful to know what are the sort of immediate or near term or intermediate term issues with the buildings in terms of sort of like the patchwork stuff. But yeah, from my perspective, I think you get more value being able to put an RFP up on something sort of the bigger picture of space planning issues. But we do need to know that.
Yeah, I was thinking of getting, you know, just sort of a basic. Let's, you know, really understand what it is we do have, and before we talk about what we need.
Nancy?
Well, I'm pretty much in agreement with what you were saying. But I think the lease situation really has to be addressed first. And then I like the idea about going through the current facilities master plan. Doesn't expire till 2013. Okay. I mean, you do have some time here. And just sort of to get a sense of it, and also the idea of getting a sense of what we do know, start keeping sort of looking at every, I think we know a lot about our libraries and what they need. What I was wondering from this list is, Teresa, is if you were envisioning a facilities master plan that would include sort of two different areas, short-term and long-term. So that was, and so I noticed most of the short-terms were around meeting, restore meeting places and sort of single point of service stuff, right?
Yeah, things that would definitely address the service model.
Right.
And being able to, the service model made certain assumptions that those of you on the task force will remember. If we're going to go to single point of service, self-pickup of holds, self-checkout, those are all kinds of things that have physical ramifications in terms of layout of your building is going to make it more or less amenable to that service. We built Scotts Valley with that kind of service in mind, so it was designed for that. None of the other buildings have been, and so we jerry-rigged. You know, we've got terminals sitting on computer on counters. Well, as soon as you have a self-check sitting on a counter, and there's somebody standing behind that counter, they're going to go to the person. So, in order to really achieve the efficiencies that we talked about, there need to be some physical changes. We have huge service desks. Our desks are long. They're massive in every location, except for Scotts Valley. maybe the Selva Beach. You know, the imprint of a service desk is much smaller now in the way libraries are designed. I mean, it's not just you're providing service, just that the desk itself is not this focal huge, not the focal point, not this huge massive desk. And we kind of need to do that in almost all our locations in order to make the service model really effective. So, I mean, we can certainly postpone it. I think it's something we need to keep in mind if we want to study it more. But we need to keep in mind that the success of the service model is going to be hampered by the physical space or spaces that we're working with. And the task force recognized that, and that's why all the alternatives included the money for the space planning. That was kind of just every model put that in there because we knew we needed to be able to figure out what it is that we need. So that's, you know, but it is a bigger issue. I mean, there's a lot of issues going on here, so it is difficult to sort out and decide which one to attack first.
Okay.
On the short term, we have an architect who does a lot of work for us, and we have a lot of architects in town. Can we do the short term one without waiting for some facilities? Couldn't we look at each library and get an architect in there?
or are there any libraries where it's just not going to work? Are there any libraries in the way they're set up right now? The self-check and that kind of stuff is just not working. And those things, it seems like, those we ought to deal with. Can an architect deal?
Yeah, I think in general, yes, I can tell you that. I can tell you that in this building, we can't really truly implement a single point of service while we have two floors. And that the staff has some ideas on how we might be able to do that, how we might be able to move children and teens downstairs and possibly put the computer function, the internet computers upstairs, where we wouldn't need to have the same level staff member in attendance. You could, you know, have somebody who's just basically observing, making sure nobody's doing dastardly things. And you could certainly give help. If someone needed help, you'd send somebody up. So that's kind of a little bit more major rearranging that would have to happen here. Now, we do have some money. We have a trust fund that was left for the Central Library. We have a trust fund left for the Selva Beach, where we have some money actually available to do some things. My concern, and we certainly could bring somebody in and do a study in just short term, here's our service model, how would it take to have each of these facilities meet that service model? My only concern, and of course we don't have to spend any money before we know, but do we want to do something in the short term? I'll just use this building for an example. Okay, say we can do something in a year in here, but in 3 years we're going to build a new building. The city's going to build a new building. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but
I was talking about doing something in a month.
I was too.
No, we can't do it in a month. Okay. Give us a break here. I can't do it in a month. So, as long as I don't want to do something and then undo it because the long term says, no, we should have done this, and the long term's sooner than we think. But long term probably isn't sooner than we think.
I was thinking, maybe Catherine, you were, I was just thinking, are there some branches where you just know if you had a new space to put the checkout things in this location, everything would be wonderful? Well, then I'd say, well, let's just do it.
Well, the problem with that is I can see what I'd like to do. I do this with my husband all the time, and then it's the devil's in the details. You know, just give me the chainsaw and I'll take care of that desk for you. But whoops, you know, we got the powers going there and you need it over there. So, and, you know, the wiring's here and it needs to be over there. So on the surface, yes, but I think to really do it right, we would be better off having somebody come in and we could do a short term, just study in the short term how to get the, and whatever you want. I mean, there's lots of ways to do it.
I would sort of think that the staff really knows what we need.
I mean, not the details. They're not architects or electricians, but I mean,
they know where it needs to be and how.
Well, that I think we could do, but it's what's the best way to get there, and you probably do need a professional eye to figure that out.
I mean, it seems to me that there's a couple of different issues or actions needed that are separate but related. And we certainly have the one big issue of the leases, which probably should have some attention paid to it. And there is some relationship between that and who's going to end up paying for some of these actions. But to me, it seems like even if, for example, the county ends up being responsible for paying for some needed improvements for a county-owned library, the county is not going to be the entity that comes up with the need. I mean, it's a library need, and the county doesn't know what that is. So we would still need to have a facilities plan, a systems facilities plan done, so that whoever in the end is going to pay for it, we have a good idea of what's on that list, what are the priorities from a library system standpoint, and can take it from there to negotiate, you know, who pays and when that all happens. So I think we have that lease issue that is a separate entity all to itself to figure out. And then we have these short and long-term facilities issues. And I really think that we have not, as a system and as a board, done a very good job in planning our major capital spending, because we've never really done it in context. It's always been, there's been a list. Our last facilities plan was sort of like this. There was a list, and I think we had a subcommittee that actually looked at the capital and came back to the board to recommend priorities. And so we had a prioritized list. But it wasn't really ever done with an understanding of the big picture and how much things were really going to cost. It was a real ballpark estimate. And it was never done with any specific discussions as to how they would be paid for. So I do think we could really, really use a good facilities plan. And I do see that there's probably a short-term side to it and then a long-term side to it. And the short-term side, and maybe it could be broken into a couple of different parts. The short-term side, I think, is what you were talking about, Ellen, that we've been talking about, which is let's find out what we already know, so that, you know, whenever we put a plan together, we don't have to do the work twice. We know what we know. And once we get a professional to look at it, a professional can take a look at everything we know, what we don't know, and what we don't even know we don't know, and add that to it so that we have the full picture. So to me, it's a logistical issue. I would say yes, we want a facilities plan. Maybe we need to break it from a timing standpoint into two parts, so that we end up with what I see as a full, robust facilities plan that can really help us in moving forward. Because the last facilities plan identified things, but I don't see it that it really helped us in moving forward with our capital needs. Now, some of that was the economy. So when you don't have any money, you're off dealing with some different issues than your capital needs. But still, I do see a need for the kind of facilities plan that I think Teresa was talking about. But I also think it makes sense to sort of pull in that short-term side of it, so that you can maybe get started on some very obvious things that aren't super expensive. I mean, there probably is some work, like you said, that could cost $1,000 to get something done. Why not get it done? When it's real obvious that it doesn't impact something else. So that's, I don't know what we do with all that, but Nancy.
I was going to suggest to people that they look at a couple other facilities, master plans for libraries, and one is Berkeley, and they kind of did a short-term, or they had a sort of an A and a B column, and the A was less money than the B, and so it really broke out the libraries. It had quite a process, the whole facilities master plan. They did have an advisory committee that worked with the consultant, and it was made up of a couple of trustees and some friends of the library. So, you know, I think that's something that if we all become a little bit more familiar with some facility master's plan, it will help us sort of envision what we're talking about as we move through our study session.
Do you have some you could forward to us?
Yeah.
Okay. That'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Teresa, if you know of systems that, you know, you would know that they have been considered to do a good job with this, I think Berkeley is one that probably
did
a good job.
I've been sent some.
So, you know, you could just sort of
Do you want to send those to us?
Well, I don't know which ones you've got.
Well, Berkeley is the one that I've really looked
There's ended
at.
Up in a bond, I'm pretty sure that they're still.
Well, pardon?
I think there's ended up in a bond.
It did end up in a bond.
Yeah, Berkeley's one I've been referred to several times.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful to just see what one is.
Yeah, right.
What does one look like? Lee?
Well, so it sounds like we do need to establish a study session, which would have sort of looking at our own facilities with the short term, you know, what do we know about our stuff, and then maybe loop in sort of what we would hope to see in our ultimate facilities plan. So I think
It's
by February 15th, I'd say. February. Well, our next board meeting is January 9th, so we
January 23rd or 30th. Mondays tend to be good, right? Because you don't have your other jurisdictions. Well, the 23rd would be the finance committee, so if you want to preempt that one again, so you want to go for the 30th.
The 30th of January.
Do you want to do the 23rd then?
I could do the 23rd.
And if we want to move finance to the 30th, or
do you think that's enough time for you?
Yeah.
Well,
first Monday in February.
Well, that would be the board meeting. So, I guess I have to kind of wrap my head around what we need at the session. So,
I
don't
know
if it's too soon or not.
Yeah. I would just wonder, Teresa, if a couple of people working with you to do the agenda. I think study sessions are kind of hard to set up because you want to make it really valuable and rigorous. So if, you know, if a couple of us could help you set up that
agenda.
Yeah,
I mean, I was thinking, you know, I'd be willing to take a branch or two. You know, I'll take a...
Oh, I wasn't thinking that was designing agendas.
I was taking a branch or two and just doing some of that research ourselves so that you don't have to do it all because your plate's going to be really full in the next month.
Well, the thing you have at the branches, when you say you talk to the staff there, you're going to have new staff in six out of the 10 branches have somebody new in charge who may not know the intricacies.
Yeah,
so it's going to take a little bit more creativity to find out who knows what. But there's a couple of you that want to work with me on planning it, and then we can figure out.
Sure.
Am I hearing you too?
Yeah, who should be there from cities, counties, from the various jurisdictions.
So I'm hearing you too.
You're
kind of, you know, sitting next to each other.
You get city people, I'll get county people, and we'll get them to get, you know.
Well, maybe
we
have history. Meeting breaks up, we can come up with a time for the three of us to meet to kind of. And then I'm hearing, if possible, shoot for January 23rd.
Along, it may be too soon, but yeah, I think that's fine.
And then do you want to move finance to the 30th?
Yes, someday.
Okay.
Sounds good. And so just to clarify that study session would not include, I didn't hear that it would include the whole lease issue, which I see as a separate and really complex and probably will take a longer period of time.
I think we should start on it, too.
Bring information about what leases we actually
have.
I can bring you the actual leases we have. It doesn't take much.
No, that doesn't take much.
Because there aren't many.
I'd be curious, you know, and it may be
mean, it seems, it surprises me that none of these buildings have leases. That seems really odd. I know.
I searched high and low.
No, you've done a great job.
Yeah, well, I'd like to know why. I mean, that seems almost like an intentional decision.
I asked Mike Rodkin, and I don't think so.
I think they were just considered to be a part of the system until the JPA, if it ever did, broke up. And so that was we know what would happen if that happened, is that they would just, we knew who they'd go back to. But I suspect that it was more that it was just part of the system. But we're so divided now. We have so many different, you know, we've got redevelopment libraries. We have old libraries that are, you know, have been around since 1926.
It's just knowing the county, it just surprises me that they wouldn't want it in writing. Who's responsible for that new roof or boiler or whatever?
No, it's interesting.
Yeah, I was surprised too when I got here, because that's the first thing I say, well, can I see the leases on the different buildings? And they weren't there. I'm like,
probably the JPA was probably tough enough.
But
that for a later date. It never happened, right?
And the JPA is silent on you know, it does mention the libraries coming in, but does not say, doesn't touch the ownership issue. So, I believe the county believes it owns its building. I believe the city believes it owns its three buildings. I mean, I don't think there's any...
No, I don't think there's any doubt to that.
No, I don't...
Tidying it up.
It's not like they handed it over, but then I was hoping that the Scotts Valley lease might serve as a model, but no, then decided, no, maybe not, after we got into that one. But that's kind of what I thought when I, you know, innocently, naively...
But it would be good to have that as... That's the one we have. So
actually,
like,
the Capitola one.
What is it?
The Capitola one is the one we want, but it's not going to happen again, because Capitola took responsibility for everything because they so desperately wanted a building that they basically sold the farm, and they're doing a lot more in terms of maintenance than
on our very large branch. So it's very expensive down there.
Yeah, than any other. I doubt the county would agree to
give it away. Our negotiating.
I was going to say, on the new building, it'll be different. So.
You are the other side.
I know.
Well, the Scotts Valley lease actually probably would be a good model.
It probably is a good model.
There's an issue between the city and the county that really isn't
has nothing to do with the lease itself.
And if you look at how that lease was crafted, and that would be a really great place to start. I think it provides good protection both for the tenant and the landlord. And in a way, I do agree that we need to move forward and get leases. At the same time, it's probably it's to our benefit. It's the landlords who probably don't want there to be leases.
The landlords should want the lease.
Forgive me, the landlord should, I got it backwards, right. The landlord should want the lease.
Yeah.
And if they don't, if landlords don't want them, that's probably not a bad thing for us. At the same time, we should clean it up, I think.
Yeah, well, particularly when we may be facing some significant expenses. And
right.
Look how long it took for that Aptos parking lot.
Look how long it's taken for the film library.
Exactly. So, Lee, you started out with a motion here. Can you read? Articulate that motion.
Okay, so I move that we have a study session on January 23rd to look at lease background information, short-term issues in each branch, and sort of generally other systems, facilities, plans to see where we might want to go with ours.
And also our current plan.
Oh, and our current, yeah, review our current facilities plan.
Second. I think we just should be a little bit more flexible in the date. Put January 23rd or the next appropriate date.
Okay.
Just so we don't have that.
Okay, any other questions or discussion? Any comments from the public? Is that going to be seconded?
You have to
second.
Ellen seconded. Thank you. Okay, with that, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Could Could I missed the fourth, I was thinking of Mr. with Lisa's short-term issues, review the current plan, and what was the fourth?
The other system.
Oh, others, others, thank you.
Other plan that might serve as a...
Lost it, couldn't get it.
Moving on to other business, parking lot review, and what we have.
There's nothing on it.
Nothing on it. And moving on to, presentations by, the applicants for, the appointment of the citizen member. We have two applicants, both, seem very qualified, so I was really happy to see those applicants. And I spoke with both of them to let them know that tonight, we would like them to come in and just give us a very brief talk, no more than 5 minutes. I left it up to them as to what they really wanted to talk to us about or present. And then, certainly if we have any questions for them or clarifications, we'll do that after each of them speaks. So let me, why don't I first introduce them, and then we'll just go alphabetically. So we have Casey Buchter right here. That's how you pronounce your last name, Casey?
That's correct.
Okay. And we all have their applications in our packets. And then we have Dick English as well. So we'll start with Casey, whose both first and last name are alphabetically first. So I didn't have to make that decision.
That's as good a way to choose as any. I was, for many years, the attorney for the State Department of Parks and Recreation, and I've written a great many joint powers agreements, and I will say I felt so much at home hearing you talk about issues that ought to be in the joint powers agreement and were completely left out. If you ask a person who drafts them, did you cover everything? Of course, it's in here, you will have no problem, and you do. I will say that issues of the boiler and the leases were not what drew me to want to serve on this board, but they are certainly familiar. I was, I suppose, the audience from the newspaper and editorials on what you have dealt with over the last year in reaching a reorganization plan that you could agree on and put into effect. That was of interest to me, but the reason I am interested in serving on the board is that I think you are at the beginning of a revolution in how the services are done. The electronic books and the way one researches and even simply takes out a book, I think are going to change in the next couple of years just enormously. Casey Coonerty at the Shop Santa Cruz has told me the other day she thinks that 50% of new books within 2 years will be electronic. Others have said 80%. I just think that's phenomenal. I use all of those kind of books. Overdrive is a frequent contributor to my reading, and I think there are going to be more and more of those. There's going to be more digital rights issues that are going to involve the library, and I don't want to be the staff, but I want to be involved in how these are handled, and I think California will be in the forefront. I think there'll be nationwide issues, and I think they're just very interesting. That grabbed me. I will certainly assist, be involved, carry out any lease examination that would be necessary, carry out your job on the reorganization. I have no thought at all of attempting to go back and revisit that. It's done. I'll support it. But you know where my interest is. Any questions?
Good evening. feel like I know many of you from our past discussions and the task force work that we did last year. I consider myself a business operations and leadership professional with over 35 years of corporate experience, mainly in high-tech companies, but also for the last 10 years in the career transition coaching world. So the last 10 years have been a diversion for me, but it's been fun to get more involved in what I call giving back to people as opposed to cranking the wheel on the other side of the hill. I've held the management roles up to the vice president level in a number of small to medium-sized companies, as well as elected positions, starting off in my high school years when I was first elected to lead a church youth group, and then in college where I held a couple of class office positions, and then more recently where I was the finance chair and then the chair of the board of the Santa Clara County Children's Shelter Association. It has fond memories for me because my wife and I met as we were board members over the other side of the hill. I particularly enjoy working with people and finding ways to understand issues, try to simplify situations to the point that I can understand them, and usually that simplification process leads to better understanding on the part of many of us. Streamlining business processes has always been an interest of mine. I think I'm known for being a pretty calm person and trying to find ways to bring order to chaos. As a library task force member last year, I feel like I learned a lot about our library system and about library as a kind of an entity that grew to be a lot more than just the walls and a physical plant that we've come to know. I've developed a growing appreciation for the roles that library, the word library in quotations, plays in the lives of many of the people in our diverse community. I volunteered to join the board of the Library Association here because I feel strongly about community service. Feel strongly about the importance of library in our community to lots of different subgroups of the community. And I'm myself an avid library user, and kind of selfishly, I want to see the library continue to evolve and keep up with some of the issues that were mentioned earlier about electronics and so forth. I'm confident that I can collaborate effectively with members of the board. I feel like I know many of you already and have met a number of you in recent times and feel that we can communicate effectively and work well together. My professional background, I think, shows that I can constructively contribute to addressing the charter and challenges that the board faces. And I've learned about even more challenges that I think the board is facing from sitting through tonight's meeting. And I look forward to the possibility of joining the board and supporting the activities going forward. Any questions? I'd be happy to.
Any questions? All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And as I did tell both of you, Casey and Dick, we will be appointing the replacement in our January meeting. So we will see that. January 9th.
And it's the second Monday.
Does the person we appoint that night take office that night?
I think so. I think that's what happened to our joint.
Okay. So that's your last meeting?
It will be my last meeting.
So it's the vote probably is the end of the meeting. You'd be chairing it.
Well, we can step in as
chair gets up and leaves. I'm out of here.
One of the agenda items gave the monthly report. I should have brought this up there. I'm sorry, I apologize. But I want to congratulate you. You're vice president of CLA. Yes.
No, the county library.
The county. No, that's what I meant, the county. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
President-elect.
Well, sympathy. Yeah. It really doesn't do anything.
No, it
does. It makes you more visible.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, partnerships and collaborations and all that.
I will tell you that today I accepted being co-chair of the California Library Association conference for next year.
Good.
That's actually good.
Thank you, Teresa.
They're laughing back there. They don't know yet.
A lot more time, Teresa.
We know what we're in for.
Good to know.
It's in San Jose, so they...
Oh, that's good.
Co-chair. Did I say chair? I meant co-chair.
You said co-chair.
I said co-chair.
You did?
I have to add one more thing, since we're sort of off topic here. I just want to say I saw the library drill card decision.
Oh, I did too.
Downtown Green did a fabulous job.
That is so fun. Yeah, I meant to mention it too. Thank you, Lee.
So...
I just want to say January 9th, for those of you that are on the Library Financing Authority, there should be a Financing Authority meeting at 6 before that, so...
6 o'clock.
I think it'll be 6. I don't set it, but it's... They typically do come in January, so I don't remember who's... It's you, Ellen. Aren't you chair?
Oh, I think I am.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I am. I chaired the last meeting, I think.
But you're...
But then we switch off every year, right? So that means I won't be chair.
I think Ellen's chair.
Okay.
I think, I don't know, check with Susan.
That's just the same thing. I love that.
That's what happens when you don't go. Okay, so with that, let's adjourn to our next scheduled meeting of January 9th at 6:30. Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. Do we need to set up a little time?
Yes.